This morning I'm going to be wrapping up a series that we began on faithfulness, what it means for us to live lives that are faithful to God. So today I'm going to read just a story that comes from the Gospel of Mark, a story that Jesus encounters when he faces a crowd of people and it's lunchtime. And here's what happens there. This comes from Mark chapter 6. I'm going to begin at verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that he had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place to get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said. "It's already very late. Send these people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than a half year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves, he gave thanks, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of my hobbies is cooking. I like to do things in the kitchen. And when it comes to things that I do in the kitchen, you know, I like to eat healthy, and I like to eat things that are delicious, and I like to experiment with new recipes and that kind of thing. But I have to admit that for me, cooking is all about the food itself, and I don't really give much attention at all to presentation, that kind of thing. So the things that I do in the kitchen and the things that I cook are not the kind of things that I'm putting up on Instagram. I'm not posting these things all around because they just don't have that kind of appeal for a picture like that. But that leaves a little something missing. Because you know what? Within my hobby of liking to do those kinds of things, I tend to glance and read at articles or magazines about food and recipes and that kind of thing. And of course, in a magazine or in an article, they always have the pictures and it's perfectly presented, right? I mean, it's plated up with all the right garnish and decoration around it, and they want to make it look appealing that way, and I have to admit that doesn't really come into the way that I do things in the kitchen. I just want it to taste good, be healthy, but I don't need to make a show out of it in some of those ways that I can post it and show off pictures of that kind of thing. But, you know, you follow some of that maybe on social media, and you see that every now and then. Someone posts that picture of, "Hey, look what I got to eat," right? And it looks all beautiful that way. And, you know, I know we give some attention to that sometimes. Things that maybe even go a little bit beyond our food, but, you know, I want a nice tablecloth or a centerpiece or some placemats or settings. Things like that that kind of come into the presentation about it. But, yeah, all right. At the end of the day, for me, it's just, it's food. Let's eat it, right? And I don't know that I have much to say about it that makes it any fancier than that. I could try in some ways, but I think you would kind of see through the lame effort that takes place there. Yeah, the other day for lunch, I had this pureed nut spread that I paired with a strawberry relish reduction that was served on some artisanal bakery sliced brioche. And you know what I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, right? And you know what? That's what it is. It's a sandwich. I can put fancy language to it all day. I can try to dress it up. I can try to make it something awesome and more wonderful than it is. But at the end of the day, I needed something with a little bit of carb, a little bit of protein to give me energy in the middle of the day, and it was a sandwich. And that's what I had. So we see something going on here today in this story where Jesus does this miraculous feeding of a lunch for 5,000 people. And we're considering today what that may have to do with how we live lives that are faithful to God. And a little something about lunch that goes along with that too. So this story that takes place today where Jesus is feeding these people, you know, it seems like maybe I have seen this before somewhere, right? So here it is, a large group of God's people, and they've wandered out to what Mark describes there as a remote and desolate place. And then there comes a point where they all start to get hungry. Yeah, this might be a story that, yep, I've seen this somewhere before. Somewhere before where, yep, a group of God's people who are in this desolate remote place and they all start to get hungry. You know, there's an echo of Exodus 16 here. Exodus 16 is that story where Moses, taking the Israelites, the people of God, out from Egypt, are out in the wilderness and they wander for a while and they become hungry. And now God provides for them manna. Bread. There's a miraculous feeding that takes place. Mark is setting that up here in his gospel too, the way that Jesus does this, that there's an echo of something that we should maybe see and make that connection. It's a story. Sure, it's a story of a lunch, but it's showing us something else. It's calling us back to see something that happened before in the story of this feeding that takes place. But there are some differences. And it's the differences that catch me, right? That's what I note of, the story's not exactly the same. Why are there some things that are different in it? And what does that mean for us, right? Yeah. What is Jesus highlighting with some of those things that maybe turn and take a new direction? So there are some things that happen in that Exodus story of the Old Testament that are different from this New Testament story in the Gospel of Mark. I'm going to note what some of those things are, and I'll put that up here. And by the way, OT is Old Testament, NT is New Testament. OT is not overtime. And that's kind of what you think for that, but I'm abbreviating here so the notes fit on there. So in the Old Testament, you had this miracle of manna. And when the manna came, the way that you read that in Exodus 16 is everyone is filled. Everyone has enough, but it's just enough. In fact, if you read Exodus 16, the instructions that God gave to Moses are everyone is to measure out an omer for each person. That's a unit of measurement that they would fill. Everyone gets an omer of manna, and it's no matter who it is, it was just enough. Enough to fill them, to satisfy them completely. And no more, no less. The manna came every day, except on the Sabbath day. They had to gather twice as much the day before. But every day it came, and every day they had just enough, and there was none left over. There couldn't be any left over, because the people who tried to get more, it all rotted. So just enough. But here in this story, as we read this story in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus then, the bread of life, distributes for everyone, and once again, there's enough for everyone. Everyone has their fill. Everyone is satisfied, but now there's leftovers. There's more than enough. Now something else is happening where they've got extra. Now, this didn't take place in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it was just enough and no more. Now there's extra? What's that about? They gather it all up and it fills 12 baskets. That says something. Because the number 12 in the Bible is a symbolic number. We think of numbers as being representative of a numeric value. 12, yeah, I mean, it comes between 11 and 13. But in the Bible, whenever you see the number 12 in the Bible, immediately we think God's chosen people. Because that's what the number 12 represents in the Bible. There are 12 tribes of Israel in the Old Testament, 12 tribes that represent God's chosen people. Jesus selects 12 apostles in the New Testament, the 12 apostles representing the launching of God's New Testament church. That the number 12 in the Bible, whenever we see that, we always symbolically think, oh, that represents the people of God. So Jesus feeds all the 5,000 people that are there, and there are 12 baskets of leftovers. Or in other words, There's enough there to feed all the people who are there. And you know what? There's even enough from Jesus for all God's chosen people. There's enough extra, enough leftover, enough of what Jesus has to give, not just for that day, not just for that time, not something that would have to be repeated day after day after day like the manna was, but once with enough for all God's people. That's represented in this story, that Jesus is doing something new in this. He's putting a new twist on this story of manna, the bread of life that God provides for his people. So it begins there, but it goes a little bit further because there's another difference in this story too, and that's what I want us to focus on. Another difference that takes place. In the Old Testament story of this, in the Old Testament, Moses asks God, and God provides. Right? They're wandering in the wilderness. The people are becoming hungry. Moses goes to God and says, the people are hungry. They need something to eat. And God provides. God gives instructions to Moses. All right, fine. Here's what you tell the people to do. And God does it all. Does all the heavy lifting there. All the people have to do is go out and gather it and eat it. Now there's something different. In this story, in the New Testament, in Mark 6, something kind of begins the same way. Hey, the people are hungry. The disciples come to Jesus and they say, hey, these people need something to eat. So it looks like it's going the same way. But now it comes with a different instruction. Jesus doesn't just say, all right, fine, I'll give them something to eat. No, Jesus says, so you do it. These people are hungry. They need something to eat. So give them something to eat, Jesus says. This catches the disciples off guard, right? What? We do it? But look where we are. We're out in the middle of nowhere. How are we supposed to feed all of these people? Where are we going to get that from? We don't have that kind of money. We don't have that kind of food. How do we do that? You see, the disciples come back with a question there of, we can't do it. How are we supposed to make this happen? We don't have what it takes to do that. We don't have it. And then Jesus doesn't let go. He responds with another question. All right then, what do you have? The disciples' first reaction to what they saw before them was, I can't do it because I don't have what it takes. I don't have what's needed to make that happen. But Jesus doesn't let go, and his next question is, well, what do you have? What do you have? This is the setup for us today as we're considering what it means for us to be people who are faithful to God, how to live a life that is faithful to God. And it begins with that question that maybe we should be asking, right? What is God asking me to do right now to be faithful? What is God asking me to do right now to be faithful? Because I'll be honest, and maybe this is true for you as well. When I think about faithfulness, when I think about faith, when I think about a life that's faithful to God, my mind goes to those big stories. That's where I go first. I think of something in the Bible like Hebrews chapter 11, right? And Hebrews chapter 12 that talk about the faith of the people who had come before, right? We're talking about people like Moses and Noah and Abraham and David. I mean, the giants of faith. When I think about faith and what it means to have a life that's faithful to God, I go to those kind of events. So I have to wonder, when I think about what faith means in a life that's faithful to God, am I always going for that big moment? Am I always looking for that? Yeah, look at what faith can do, that faith that moves mountains. Remember Moses? He parted the Red Sea and all the people got to walk across. You remember David? Just a slingshot and some stones and he took down a giant, Goliath, and he did that. You remember Elijah had this reveal party on the top of Mount Carmel where he calls down the fire of God and it takes the entire altar that he built there, and everyone who saw it saw the power of the one true God. I love a faith moment like that. And you know what? I'll be honest. Sometimes that's what I'm looking for. When I think about faith, I want that. I want that kind of moment. A moment where everyone around me who sees it has no doubt this is the power of God. It has to be. It can't be anything else. I think we do that. For those of us who pursue this life of faith, that we look for those moments, we do. So for someone like me who's being a pastor, maybe there's that moment where I think, you know what? I want that giant church where there's all kinds of new people coming to Jesus for the first time, right? New believers and professions of faith everywhere. I want that kind of a faith moment. But we all have our own expression of that in some way, don't we? Those things that show a life of steadfast faith that we want to show up in powerful ways for everyone else to see and acknowledge. I want to be the mom who has all the perfect angel, well-behaved kids who enjoy the crafty little things that I do at home. Or what about being the captain of the varsity team, right? The one that everyone else looks up to, the one who kind of rallies and motivates everything to happen. Or the person who aces all the classes in school, get all the A's. Or I want to be that guy at work who can take the team of people and support and build everyone up and land that big contract or get that new client and get the job done. Right? We all have those ways where we want to say, you know what? I know I'm a person who's gifted by God, and I want to use those gifts that God has given me in the world to impact and help other people, and I want it to be huge. I want it to be big. I want to part the waters. I want to take down the giant. We do that. When we think about faith and faithfulness, that's where our minds go. And when we do that, maybe the question that I really need to be considering this is then, so what am I missing? Am I missing maybe some small, ordinary moments of faith that take place? And I'm missing those things because I'm just looking for the big. I'm looking for the huge. And while I'm so focused on looking for that big thing, maybe I'm overlooking something right now. Right now. A moment that God has placed into my life right now to be faithful for Him. And you know what? It's not big. In fact, it's pretty ordinary. Almost boring. But it's a moment of faith. What am I missing right now that may be ordinary and small, but it's an act of faith? So while I'm looking for the giant Bible study that attracts all kinds of new people to come in and join, but what if the thing that's in front of me right now is the one neighbor who needs someone to reach out and give some support and have a friend, right? What if I'm looking for something where I want to be involved in a ministry that touches thousands of lives, but the one thing that's in front of me right now is the one person who needs a mentor? And what if I'm looking for the kind of thing where I can be the captain of the varsity team and I'm leading everyone and helping everyone to reach something higher, but the one thing that's in front of me right now is the one other student who feels like she doesn't have any other friends? So what is there right now? What is the moment of faith that God has placed in front of you right now that maybe we're looking right past it because I just want to see the big things and I'm ignoring what maybe that little thing might be? Do we need a little bit of help with that, right? How do I find that? So how do I know if I'm missing it, or how do I know if I'm overlooking that? Well, maybe that then comes to the question of asking, what has God given me? So what do I have? We read in this story today that there was a monumental task facing these disciples. They had this crowd of hungry people. And their first response was, this is huge and we can't do it. And we can't do it because we don't have what's needed to do that. And Jesus, in his response, says, all right then, what do you have? Let's start there. That's great for us today. Those are good words for us today. Because when I look at what it means to be a person who's faithful to God and consider all the ways that I don't have those big things, right? And I don't know that I have what it takes to do those big things. Then Jesus comes back and he simply says, all right, let's start with this. What do you have? Let's go there first. So what is it that you have been given by God to live a life that is faithful to him? Don't focus on the things that you don't have or that you want to have or that you're envious of other people having, but let's just think about what it is I have right now that's been given to me by God so that I can be faithful to him in how I live. You see, because we see these examples in the Bible of these people in the Old Testament and the people who have these lives of faith, and they're people who have been called to do these amazing things, to part seas and attack giants, and God equipped them to do that. And sometimes I want that equipment as well. I want that toolbox. I want that in my bag of tricks. You know what? I could part seas too if only I had that staff like Moses had. You remember that one he threw it on the ground and it turns into a snake and holds it out over the water and the water parts. If I had the tools, if I had the equipment, if you gave me what I needed, then I could do those things. Or maybe that slingshot. If I had that slingshot like David had, you know what? Not only the slingshot, but you just kind of find me those 5 smooth stones and better yet, write the names of my worst enemies on them. Right? If I had the equipment, God, if you would just give me what I need, then I could do those big things for you. Because I want to do those things for you, but I just don't have what I need to do that. But I don't. That's not what God has given me. You see, because sometimes it works like this, that you and I wish for things that we don't have so that we can do the things that, in all honesty, God's not calling me to do it in the first place. Right? That I want to do these things, these huge things for God, but maybe God's not calling me to do those huge things. And I want to have all the things I need to do that, but maybe God has not given me those things. And so I'm waiting. I'm waiting. My life of faith then becomes a life of faith that is waiting. I'm waiting for God to give me the big thing so that I can do the big thing. And while I'm waiting, I miss something. I miss what God has already given me right now to do something that is faithful to him right now. So maybe that's where it starts for us today in considering what it means to live a life that's faithful to God. It starts with that question of, so what has God given me right now? What do I have from God right now? Because what you see in all those examples of faith in Scripture is that you see that God equipped those people with what they needed to do the thing that God called them to do at the moment that they were called to do it. So, what has God given me right now to do the thing of faith that is in front of me right now? Because God has supplied me with everything I need from him to be faithful right now. You and I can live lives that are faithful to God right now because God has already supplied you with exactly what you need to be faithful to him right now. Maybe it's not big. You know, maybe you're looking at nothing more than a peanut butter jelly sandwich and not this super Gordon Ramsay feast. But God has given you what you need right now to be faithful right now. And it's all a gift from him. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the gift of your word. God, we have to confess that, yep, there are times and moments in our lives where we have wanted to do the big thing, and we've been waiting for the big thing, and sometimes we get lost in that. Lord, forgive us for the times when we have overlooked the gift that you have given to us right now to live for you, to be faithful to you. Lord, help us to be people who take joy and contentment in the life of faith that is before us, even at this moment. And help us to receive with overwhelming gratitude the gifts that you've given to us right now to be your people of faith here today, right now. We thank you for that. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. In being baptized by